I'm speaking with a chap called Dan Willis, who's over in is it, where is it you are? Is it Oregon, Dan, that you're in?
Yeah, I'm on the west coast of the US in Oregon.
And we're talking on Skype, and Dan's very kindly agreed to talk to us. I think we're going to post this audio on Exopolitics UK, which is my friend Great David Griffin's site. And really, I've got a list of questions here, but I don't want to, just read it out because it'll end up just being a bit formal and stuff. So we're probably going to just have a general chat about things, but with hopefully a vague structure to it. But I'd like to just get Dan initially, if he can, just to sort of give us, how he got into the sort of disclosure issue, and I think if he can tell us about any UFO experiences he had before the one which he described at the disclosure press conference in 2001. And Dan, if you can just sort of tell us about all that sort of thing, basically just the initial experiences, if you had any. And how you ended up in the Disclosure Project conference.
Yeah, Sandra. Well, I didn't have anything prior, that's for sure.
Right.
Because I was only I was about 20 years old or so, or 21 years old.
Okay.
The high speed code operator working at a highly secured facility, the busiest military communication facility on the planet back in 1969. My whole family's been a military. My dad was a career Marine with a presidential citation. I think they thought I was going to do more than 4 years, and he gave me a very high level top secret crypto level 14 clearance. I received a message from a ship that was off the coast of Alaska that was visually reporting and was also tracked on radar to substantiate a reddish orange elliptical object approximately 70 feet in diameter that was off port bow and was in the Alaskan waters. It was a U.S. Navy ship and shot into space. The radar operator tracked it going 7,000 miles according to his equipment.
Wow.
This is going to High Naval Command. This is the first time I've taken thousands of top secret messages, and this is sort of a rare thing. It doesn't happen all the time, but I just happen to have that one experience of that message, and it, recorded like a movie camera in the back of my mind, the exact when I was typing it out and everything. And how I got involved in the Disclosure Project, well.
I think you mentioned that briefly when I last spoke to you, but that's quite an interesting story as well.
I've had some UFO experiences where I had one fly about 100 feet. I don't know if it was theirs or ours, but it was
Oh, so
quiet and
you
glowing.
did have another experience.
Yeah, but I don't. When things are official in the military, they're documented, and they have a different weight. And millions of people out there have had UFO experiences, so I don't really.
Sure, I just you know I just I'm just what interests me is that the pattern of experiences in people's lives sometimes I think seems to be significant. I mean, just to give you an example, there's a lady that I know who lives in London, and she's through her life, I think she's probably in her 60s now, but she's seen about I think she's seen about 20 or 30 UFOs through her life, and she's had various experiences. So I think sometimes there seems to be this element of you as a person seemingly being quote unquote chosen, so I find it's always interesting to explore that area of people's background.
Yeah, but probably the most dramatic was driving through the desert in Arizona, going up the mountainside with my girlfriend and my brother and his wife. We pulled off the side of the road. It was at night, going up the road, heading up to Prescott, and he was out stretching. I was sitting in the driver's seat, just kind of relaxing for a little bit after a long drive. He swings the door open, grabs me, yanks me out of the truck, saying, "Look, look, 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 look!" Pointing up, and he must have seen it as it was coming. And it was, if it was about 100 feet up, it must have been, 75 feet in diameter. It was white with a greenish hue to it, totally quiet, and then shot out across the desert and did a right angle turn and went, like that.
And what year was that again?
That was
Roughly?
about 1976 and somewhere in that area. A long time ago.
I mean, that must have been a sort of fairly spectacular sighting from the sound of it then. I mean, it's not, You know, I mean, I've had three sightings, but very, just little lights in the sky far off, you know.
Yeah, the question of UFOs are here visiting us. I think, everybody accepts that. It's the hard part's what's happening here on Earth. That's what's
Yes,
really hard for people to comprehend and get their mind around.
definitely, definitely. I mean, that's, sort of some of the material we'll get into, and I think there's, as we've both already discussed, the fact that we think the key thing really is to make the connection between the UFO and ET phenomenon, and the bigger picture. And again, as I may have said to you previously, when I saw Disclosure Project for the first time in 2003, so I was at least 2 years behind the times. It was the connections that it made which really switched me on to the whole thing again. I've had an interest all my life, but yeah, definitely. So I think just following on from that, if you can go through the story of how you met Dr. Greer, and that was quite sort of vaguely amusing to me when you told me that.
Yeah, I it stirred an interest in me about, wanting to find out more. Obviously, I knew something was going on, going to High Naval Command, and I followed the subject for a long time. And people were talking about different things, this and that. And a friend of mine, wanted to go to a UFO conference, and I really wasn't interested in going. It was just the same old people saying the same old stuff, But I thought, oh, well, it might be fun. So we took off, and they had a cocktail party afterward. And I heard what Dr. Greer was going to do, and I was so impressed that, wow, somebody has the courage to go to Washington to say something. Everybody knows there's something going on, but nobody's, going to Washington, to do anything. So at a cocktail party, I was holding an hors d'oeuvre tray, and Dr. Greer happened to step over. He said, "Oh, could I have one of these?" And I said, "Oh yeah. And by the way, I had a top secret clearance also, and so he said, "Well, see me in a room." And so I
And what
heard.
year was what year was that roughly,
This
Dan? Can
was
you remember?
2000,
Oh, year 2000, right?
and then I heard, they're going to Washington, and I think some of the people were falling out. Some of the, going there. Everybody's breaking their national security oath on this stuff. This is serious stuff, This is not your bunch of people lending their voice that we're not alone in the universe. This was serious stuff. There was a lot more to this for all these people to break their national security oath to do
I mean, to
this.
get those people all in one place, I mean, that is, it's, you know, that in of itself is a huge achievement, as I saw it. Once I'd thought about what Dr. Greer had done for that press conference, the rocks and mountains he must have moved to make that happen. I mean, I can't imagine it,
Yeah, and the night before I went to Washington, I was tossing and turning. I was thinking, my God, because I became aware of what all these witness testimonies were saying, and it was saying that essentially our legal government has been infiltrated by a rogue interest that has been withholding this and controlling the media for 50-plus years, and they're withholding it because they have, technology interests and industrial military complex, as Eisenhower said, and everything. And I was thinking, my God, if this gets on major networks, which is National Press Club, you can't get much more major than that.
Actually, I think a lot of people don't realise, particularly for us in the UK. We hear the MPCC is this. Here it's where the Disclosure Project took place, but many of us don't really know, the history behind it or what else takes place there. I believe quite a lot of the big political conferences are held, or big political press conferences are held there too. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, Andrew, I've seen the CIA documentation, that they, and anybody can see it on the DisclosureProject.org site, that they have relationships with every single media to kill, spin, or anything with any story. But I thought, before I went there, I thought, oh my God, how are they going to, they have 20 people coming up in front of, what was it, like 22 cameras back there, on all major networks, all giving this testimony, which saying that, you know, we've got rogue operations taking in over $100 billion a year. We've been shooting them down. Yeah. We've got the technologies. We, you know, on and on. How are they going to suppress that? You know, and so in this dream I had the night before,
This was interesting.
I had this dream where we all gave our testimony, and afterward, secret government operative, whatever you want to call them, cabal, Illuminati, or, you know, I know there's all sorts of names, but anyway, this rogue operation that's within our government, one of their operatives came up, and systematically, they already knew, they did all the background search. Now, this isn't a dream, of course. And they discredited each one of us, saying, oh, well, this is the top secret project, and this is why that, and this, and, you know, so forth. And we were all the witnesses were looking at each other with our mouths dropped, thinking, oh my God, they did it. They discredited all of us, you know. All knew it was a lie. And then I walked up to the fellow, and instead of having anger and resentment, I just reached out and shook his hand. I said, I have to commend you. You know, 50 years of keeping this under a wrap and having to keep this secret, you know, you do so much work, you know. And at that point in the dream, it's like all the people in the room, the black ops and the witnesses, everybody became aware that, you know, we're all one people. We're all connected, and that what we're doing to each other, we're hurting each other, you know. In other words, what they do to us, they're actually hurting themselves, and because we're all interconnected in this spiritual matrix, or whatever you want to call it.
That's right. I mean, that's the feeling that I have as well. And I think if you begin to realize that, it starts to affect the way that you treat other people in terms of just basic things like trying to be helpful or trying to be polite, you know, and that sort of thing.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, When I was sitting up there with the 20 witnesses, I felt so honored to be part of what I felt was going to be a historic, world-changing event that was going to change everything. If this technology was to get out, we would stop the pollution in the world. People would not have the electric bills or the gas bills they have. We would not have the wars. You know, we would have technology for healing. We don't have the pharmaceutical companies that we have. We'd have every aspect of life would have been changed. What happened was, I understand the first, it was like 250,000 people logged on to the National Press Club, but the first 2 hours was jammed by the NSA. Yeah. And when CBS, CNN, and everybody covered it, it very carefully went through the editing room, and it took out every single thing that said anything that disclosed about this whole secret rogue operation, and made it sound like a UFO group wanted to waste taxpayers' money on having a congressional hearing, saying that, oh, we're a group of people that, that want Congress to know that we are not alone. And
I think just to sum up that what you're saying there, when I was researching the Disclosure Project initially, when I'd found out about it, I came across I'll see if I can get the page up here. It basically the report on the BBC website, if I can find it, was the headline for the Disclosure Project was UFO spotters slam cover up, and that was the headline for the BBC coverage. You know, I'll see if I can get the exact headline while I'm online, but I'll send it to you as well.
But they
might
think
not have seen it.
The people just think it's covering up the reality of UFOs, and the reality is an infiltrated rogue secret government that has been operating illegally to protect its interests in the industrial military complex and oil and energy cartels.
Now, what I'll do is, Dan, I'll probably link this page as we've referred to it in our talk, and I'll link this onto the site when we post this interview. But I'll just send you, just have a look at the top of it, and I've got a comment to make about that. If you just click on that page, that's the report about the disclosure project, and the date on that is 10th of May 2001. That's about the press conference, rather.
But you know, the whole media thing has taken a keen interest with me because, you know, I'm ex-ABC newsman. I used to be a broadcasting engineer.
Yeah, I particularly want to talk about this with you, yeah.
And, you know, after I was on CNN Headline News, CBS Special Assignment Team came down just to do a special interview with me, and I told them.
And when was that? Was that a couple of days after the press conference or a month or something?
Yeah,
or
that was about a week afterward.
About a week, right.
Or even less than a week, probably.
Right.
They sent a whole camera crew down, and they interviewed me for 45 minutes, but I said, look, I'm not going to even start this interview unless you assure me that I can say, quote, we have the scientists willing to come forth in an open congressional hearing to prove that we have the technology to end the energy crisis and the environmental damage, unquote. Shea promised. They went through the editing room. The only thing that came out was me saying, we've reached a critical time when the truth needs to be revealed to the people. And they did the same exact template that CNN did and basically just said that we're wanting to have a congressional meeting, a hearing rather, on the reality of UFOs, which of course is not going to gain any interest by anyone.
And I think also that's happened quite a few times in the past, hasn't it? Because, for example, if you listen to Colonel Corso's testimony, he says that he went before 6 congressional hearings in his time to talk about, you know, his work. I don't know at what level, but, it, you know, these things have happened in the past. And I know, for example, that I don't know if you know Robert O'Dean, I think he was command sergeant. He must have been in the late 80s or 90s, he got a group of about 50 people together, and he was going to try and do a congressional hearing with them, and I think, again, that, you know, the key thing is making the connections, and what they're depriving people of is the connections between the information, and I think, you know, going from what you say, they're not really that bothered whether they sort of say that aliens are real, you know, and that they come here.
Most people can accept that reality, that we're being visited from off-planet cultures.
Yeah. But I think that what they're limiting, really, is the effect and the widespread effect, like you mentioned earlier on, and we'll talk a bit more about this later, or maybe in a separate hour that we do or something. But, like you say, just making the connection between that and the energy, basically.
Yeah, well, really can't stop, can they, lying?
No. You mentioned previously that you're going to have this interview, and then the woman promised you that she wouldn't the interview, and
She was on the phone crying to me, practically in tears, saying that I'm so sorry, because I really made her promise and hold her to her word on this. She was saying, I'm so sorry. You know, she said the higher executives, you know, unquote, made me cut out all the good parts. But it still got a fairly good story piece, you know, she said. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Sheehan, our legal counsel, he's got a list of 42 CIA and NSA operatives that are in high media executive positions whose job is to do exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is what you're up against, isn't it? Because the censorship is so powerful, really, in terms of just, you know, keeping the knowledge divided, I suppose, and keeping it in separate boxes so that people can't sort of, you know, tie one thing together with the other.
Secrecy is essentially their strength, and disclosure is the only strength of the people, because it's true. And the only way this is going to come out, since they have the representatives indoctrinated on how to respond on this issue, and since they control the media, the people aren't going to get the full story and realize how seriously it's not about UFOs, it's about the entire world changing and technology changing, and every aspect of life would be changed for the better. And, you know, and some people are concerned about, oh, well, what if this advanced technology got in the wrong hands? Well, Eisenhower, back in the 60s, said that of this group that it's not going to be in the best of hands, and it's already this advanced technology that's been hidden is you can see the way the world's going with the destruction, the wars, the pollution. Yeah. If it keeps on going destruction without the people outcrying, and the only way to do it, I guess, is like radio shows like this, you know, that are still free, you know, to educate people.
This is the whole goal, isn't it? I think there's a couple of other things which were on my list to ask you, because I think before, quite a while ago when I spoke to you, you mentioned that you'd visited the Congress and the Capitol building after the press conference. I just wondered what, if anything, of interest happened there.
That's right. There was about two dozen senators and congresspeople that we went into. We organized after the press club into groups. I was with Carol Rosin's group, mm-hmm. who included Captain Salas, who was in charge of 16 intercontinental ballistic yep. missiles that got shot down. Let's see. I remember being at the desk of one of the Oregon representatives and saying to mm-hmm. them, you know, we've just finished going on every single major network media, and, we presented a 500-page briefing document and 4 hours of video witness testimony, and we said, look, we're all we're asking is that you look into this. If we're creating a hoax, if this is all a lie, then we need to be punished, you know, for what we've just done, you know.
Yeah.
And I say all we're asking is look at the validity.
Did you actually use those words?
I used Excellent. Just about exactly those words. I said, all we're asking is look at the validity. And, you know, we get a lot of smiles and, you know, polite courtesies, you know, but actually you can read what in the body language and everything that, you know, this is something they don't want to deal with. This is upsets their normal routine, that it's, it's too much of a hot potato, and, you know, like, don't bother me with this now type of thing.
Right. I mean, that's right. I mean, if I may make a very, very weak pun here, it's alien territory for them, isn't it? You know, it's just, they just don't want to go there, and they have no experience. And I suppose there are a couple of exceptions, like in the political landscape, like Senator Barry Goldwater, who I believe was quite into all this stuff, wasn't he? I know he's not a congressman, but Senator Barry Goldwater is a name that frequently crops up. I don't know if you've come across him at all.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, after we did that, we realized that the media wasn't getting the story out to the public, and so Dr. Greer decided to tour across all the major cities. I joined him.
I wanted to ask you about this as well, because this was really good.
I joined him on the half of the United States. I was in Colorado, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Eugene, Ashland, you know, all across the whole western United States. I joined with him. And every single time, without exception, you know, the media would come in. They would cut me out totally, because I would just say the bottom line. I said, our legal government, and everybody has to get that really clear in their head, that it's not our legal CIA, it's not our legal government, it's not our legal representatives. It's a rogue operation operating within, that is operating highly compartmentized, that even the president gets denied access. Which we have two presidential administrations we know of that's been denied. But anyway, I basically say our legal government's been infiltrated, you know. They've cut me out every single time. But when they interviewed Stephen, they would basically make fun of it every single time. Yeah. San Diego had dancing alien dolls in San Francisco. Yeah. They said the Disclosure Project's looking to aliens to solve the world's energy problems.
Yes.
And Portland.
So easy just for them to insert a couple of words or a short phrase and totally sort of change the meaning of what is being said.
Oh, it's you know, if you put yourself in the hat of a psychological warfare editor, you say you're receiving this information. Let's see, I got a report on this. Now they're saying the legal government's been denied access, and that we've got hundreds of billions of dollars going in rogue operations that are shooting. We have witnesses testifying we're shooting down extraterrestrials. We have witnesses saying we have energy. We have all this stuff. Let's see, how can I possibly spin this so that it would have the least impact of the guy sitting back eating his Cheetos watching TV? Let's see. Oh, a group of people wanting to let Congress know that we're not alone in the universe. Perfect. Yeah, let's do it that way. And that's what they did.
Yes. And I think, again, you know, because there's that particular idea is already there in the public consciousness anyway. And, you know, you've got things like the NASA SETI program. So, you know, the government is officially, through programs like SETI, looking for extraterrestrial life. But, of course, they don't, they sort of vaguely admit they might have found it or something, but then they say, no, it was just a mistake. And they keep doing that over and over again. You know, I mean, we had the case here, and I know you met one of the people involved, Larry Warren. I distinctly remember this in 1980. We had one of the major daily newspapers. It had I think it was a Sunday paper actually at the time. It had a headline on it which was UFO lands in Suffolk, official from the MOD, Ministry of Defence. And you know, that was a front headline newspaper. But then a few years later that story was changed, and I've got the version of this which was just after I'd heard about Disclosure Project, where they changed this story in that it was a chap driving an old police car around the airstrip and flashing the lights, and that was the Rendlesham incident, according to one of the UK national daily papers. So the spin is just incredible on this, like you say.
Oh, yeah. Everything's hidden in plain sight, though. You know, but the average people out there, they, you know, it's human nature to want to, although you can't, you know, you want to trust your government, what it's saying to you and what your media is telling you, and like CNN news you can trust, you know, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, when I was in Washington, Larry was telling me that, you know, he's calling back to Liverpool, and he's saying that there was people out there in front of Parliament the day of the press conference.
You mentioned this, yeah, and I didn't hear about this.
Picketing, holding signs saying, you know, expose the secret government. Another one was saying, release the extraterrestrial technologies, you know. I mean, it was nothing like that happening in the United States in front of the Capitol building or anything.
That's interesting, because I never heard about that, but obviously I didn't hear about the disclosure.
I'd love to get a photograph of that, you know.
I have to see if I can get in touch with anybody who was involved with that. I mean, this David Griffin, who runs the ExoPolitics site, he might well know somebody who might have been involved with that. I don't know, but you know, I really don't know. But yeah, that was an interesting angle. You did the tour after the event, and so that lasted for, what was it, a couple of weeks, was it, or?
Yeah, no, it was a couple of weeks going from city to city. They'd have, like, you know, 1,000 some people, you know, and each we'd rent like these large halls, and we'd show the executive briefing, and when we'd speak about it, and you know, we'd get standing ovations. You know, people were so moved, you know.
Yeah.
But every time the media, to get to the majority of people, you know, we're only affecting just a small amount of the population. We're not getting the full message out to the masses.
Yes, yeah.
If people only had an idea that it's not just about UFOs and aliens, you know, that's the easy part. How it affects everybody and for future generations. And if we don't, you know, you think about it, you know, you got to put yourself in the place of one of the wealthiest people in the world that owns these corporations, these oil industries. You know, if you were involved in a corporations like Colonel Corso was speaking of, you know, reverse engineering, and we're disseminating that to the public, and then they discover, oh, well, here's a little box that can put in your house and run your entire house. You can put in your car. You can run your car for free. It doesn't pollute, runs forever, doesn't wear out. You are going to do everything possible to circumvent the national security laws to create what's called unacknowledged special access projects, which is what they have, that unless you have a need to know, it's highly compartmented. And their people keep isolated from the normal people that are, I mean, are not normal, but the regular people that are in the intelligence and the military and the government. They keep their operations completely separate and isolated so that there is no disclosure of these activities going on.
And I think, again, you only get that through whistleblowers. And, you can see that in certain cases, some of these whistleblowers are actually plants, and they will string people along and then give them a bit of truthful information and then give them a bit of false information, such that the end result is a general state of confusion.
Exactly, there's so much craziness out there that it keeps people, they don't know what to believe because it's so mixed up. But the one thing that we have that's rock solid, and that is, over 450 military witnesses, which are astronauts, generals, admirals. Now, you have to think about it. Now, if all these people are making up stories, ones with official supporting documentation and that collaborating testimonies that match and they don't even know each other, if all these people are making up stories, if all this is a lie, then we have something far more extraordinary here than,
you've got to decide where the lies actually are. But, going back just a couple of steps to the question of the energy and the compartmentalization and the way that these free energy technologies pose a risk to the established interests. Again, once I'd seen the Disclosure Project and it had shown that connection, I'd been interested in free energy technologies. I'd followed the cold fusion, I'd followed the cold fusion sort of story when that happened, because that sort of broke in about 1989, and that's after I'd left college, and I was working, and I was just sort of, I was always interested in that type of thing, because, my background is in sort of software engineering and science and a little bit of physics. So, cold fusion was something I was really interested in. And then I remember what happened to Pons and Fleischmann, who discovered one of the people that discovered the cold fusion effect, and they were the people that went public with it. But, and seeing how the people who were saying, if you got somebody who came forward and said, I've got a free energy device and it'll run your car, on 1/10 of the amount of petrol that it uses now, gasoline, as you call it, over your way. And they would be treated in an almost identical fashion to the people who said, I saw a UFO land in a field last week. They would be ridiculed. They would be discredited. They would be attacked. They would get visits from strange people, dressed in black, who turn up in black cars. Obviously not, the stories didn't match up completely, but you got the same type of stories told by people who were involved with free energy, things and significant UFO events. It was exactly the same pattern. And
it's the same interest,
they
want to imagine if, after for all these years of lying and all this environmental destruction that has occurred, all the technology that could have saved so many thousands of lives, all the wars, needless wars that didn't, I'm an ex-Vietnam vet, been in combat action, and anything I could possibly do to help young guys have to go through, the combat. I mean, this is not what we need to be doing. No. This whole world can be lifted up to another spiritual level, one where we're operating in a peaceful manner to open up a cultural exchange with these off-planet cultures. And the implications of how it could, not only knowing more about who we are in the whole universe, but working in harmony with the cosmological lay of the land that we live in, would be so much less suffering in the world.
Yes, I think there's a lot of people seem to be, through things like the Disclosure Project, and the things that Alfred Weber and Carl Rosin are doing with the Peace in Space, and I think Dr. Brian O'Leary as well, he's involved with them as well, isn't he? And there seem to be quite a number of separate groups. And, for example, one of the bodies which I came across quite a few years ago was the Aetherius Society. Have you heard of the Aetherius Society?
No, I'm not.
They're basically, the reason why I haven't really you know, being involved with them is they're kind of like a cult, really. They wouldn't call themselves a cult, I don't think. But they sort of revere this person who's called Dr. George King, who I believe started in life as a taxi cab driver. And he also had a contact experience, and he ended up starting this movement, which became the Aetherius Society. You know, you can just go onto the internet and find it. But whilst it's kind of like a religion, they are also, you know, switched onto this idea of praying for peace and looking to the wider sort of cosmological picture that we fit into, which should be a peaceful one. And if you look at some of the things that they've put out in that sort of area, it's very, you know, it's quite in tune with the sorts of themes that you and I are talking about just now, you know. And so I think there seem to be a number of groups in the world that are working towards this now in different ways, you know. So.
Yeah, I've been pretty much, I haven't really gotten into any real, you know, groups or anything like that.
No.
But the cornerstone of this whole thing is the witness testimonies.
Yeah.
You know, what we're saying about what we're making accusations that our government has an illegal rogue operation infiltrating, and it's operating, manipulating the media. And these statements have to be backed up by extraordinary evidence and proof.
That's right. I mean, as a lot of people say, you know, you hear this claim from the skeptics or this statement, extraordinary evidence. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. But then Dr. Greer says, and you know, I'm sure we would echo this immediately, that extraordinary evidence requires extraordinary attention. And I think this is for you and I. It's one of the really difficult things is, you know, you show them these amazing things, you know, things like in the 60s, the most advanced piece of military technology, you know, the nuclear Minuteman missiles, or one of the most advanced pieces, at least in the white world, is shut down by an unknown object. You know, it's completely neutralized. I mean, that, you know, and then they say, oh, it's not an issue for defense. You know, it's not an issue, not an issue, you know, or something stupid like that. It's just so hypocritical.
Yeah.
And like you say, the witness testimony about that, and you know, when you can produce the documents, and you can produce the corroborating testimonies, and the people in power, or at least in the white world again, just don't pay any attention to it.
Well, that's why I think it's more important that, you know, instead of, you know, talking, a lot of the mainstream people, if you will, they look at the people who are into UFOs as kind of a cult, a group, and almost like a religion type of thing, you know. And I think what we need to do is bridge that gap to let them understand. You know, what I say to people is, you know, go to the disclosureproject.org site, read the witness testimonies, make up your own mind
exactly
if all these people are making up lies, and then take action. And the take action meaning, well, if you're in the UK, you know, write a member of parliament about
this,
you know,
and
write a personalized letter. And if you're in the US, to use a free online fax that I created on the disclosureproject.org website.
Yes.
You can also, if you're in the UK, you can. I put up a phone number list that includes all the embassies of the world, so you can.
Oh, right.
You can do that. You know, and I monitor that system, and we've got about 30,000 sent out, and I had people send me back the letters from the president and the representatives, and I posted them all up. They can go to the disclosure site, and you can read them all.
This is international as well, is it? You've got some international responses.
Yeah, there's some international. It's mostly U.S.
Yeah.
But there is a pattern, and the pattern is the templates and the forms and the official denials from NASA. In other words, it appears to me that all the representatives have, and or aides have been indoctrinated how to respond to the subject.
Yeah.
So we got this catch-22. You got them being indoctrinated to respond a certain way, and then you have the media being controlled under the guise of national security, not getting the message out. And so it's only through education, like we're doing right now, Andrew, to the masses.
Absolutely.
That representatives won't do anything unless there's an outcry of people.
I think, yeah, it's going to take large numbers. And I think just to sort of tack on to what you were saying there, when I came across Disclosure Project in 2003, and that's, well, just over 4 years ago, speaking now as we are today on the 11th of June, 2007, and I actually went to see my Member of Parliament, because you can go and see them, what we call them surgeries in this country. And I took my laptop with me, and I got John Callaghan's testimony on the laptop, and I played her that, and then I gave her about something like 20 pages of documents from the list that Dr. Greer had, you know, put together in the executive briefing. I didn't think I'd, I didn't want to print out the whole thing and just give her the 500 pages.
So you played the John Callaghan testimony about the secret meeting with the Admiral and the UFO over Alaska with all the documentation that the CIA thought they had, but he had backups when he retired of everything.
Yeah, I gave her copies of that. And initially she didn't want me to play this video because I think she thought it was going to be like 2 hours or something. But I knew, you know, I'd gone prepared because I knew that, you know, these things only last sort of 10 or 15 minutes. And it's not fair to other people anyway, you know, if you're there and you're taking up somebody else's time who's also planned to see, you know, you don't want to sort of overrun from that. Really, that's not the way I, you know, behave anyway. So, but she just didn't, she just... Like you said about the your experiences with the congressman, you know, they're just not equipped to react to it. She was quite polite and stuff. But,
so was Washington on Capitol Hill. Everybody was quite polite, you know, but no one was taking any executive leadership, you know, on doing something. I don't think they want to. You know, it's interesting. I did something similar to you when we were handing this 500-page briefing document and this 4-hour video of witness testimony. These guys, you imagine their time frame schedule of being able to look at any of this stuff? No way. I went down to the Senate library and I typed up a little flyer real quick, printed up a bunch of copies, and me and a team of four other people working with the Disclosure Project went all over Capitol Hill, and basically the flyer was saying that, you know, we've just been on major media, and there we have the scientists willing to come forth, we have solutions for the environmental damage and the energy crisis, and that, you know, it was just outlined in a very simple format. And, you know, because they're just not going to crack a 500-page book or even begin to watch 4 hours of witness testimonies.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. This is what we've, you know, I was mentioning that sort of before we started recording that David has been invited to see an MP who's based in the south of England. And, you know, we've both sort of just chatted briefly about how we can just compile a small amount of the information. You know, and always I think the hope is that if you give them a taster, they will come back for more. But, of course, it's extremely rare that that happens, and hasn't happened at all in my experience, you know. And you also get people misunderstanding what you're saying. I mean, I remember having an email conversation with a journalist, you know, and I sent him quite an impassioned response, not an angry response, and it is an impassioned response in terms of the, you know, what we've been talking about, in that we're looking at a whole change in our way of life, and it will affect everything that we do, and I, you know, put this into an email. And this,
it's too hard for people to wrap their mind around that that there's a rogue operation operating within our government.
And this chap replied back. He said, "Happy alien hunting."
Right.
And I just had to say to him, "Well, I'm not hunting aliens. You know, what's the point? I already know that they are influencing us. You know." And he just didn't get it. You know, he just didn't get it. So you've just got to sort of leave it at that, really.
Yeah, it's
you know, when you get to that point,
one of the biggest challenges I've found in order to get this information out to the average person out there without sounding like a little green man crackpot, you know. But you know, again, you know, the witness testimony is the one thing that's rock solid, and the one thing that everything's based on. You know, I don't attribute anything that I know to anything other than, you know, personally meeting the witnesses, talking to them, getting a feel for them, looking at their documentation, and plus researching all the witness testimonies. And once you do, the dots start to put a picture together. And once you know this picture, you say, oh my God, it's real,
And I think, again, that the another reason for them to block the disclosure project in any way that they can is that when you lot get together, all the witnesses, more of you, each of the witnesses is seeing a little part of the picture, but when they see, take, for example, John Callahan, just imagine him when he met and heard Robert Salas's testimony about the missiles being shut down. And he'd never have heard of that before that day, would he, or before he got involved with the disclosure project. So for all the witnesses seeing all the other witnesses, that in itself is a powerful sort of effect of raising the consciousness, of the whole issue, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And the witness, the testimonies, about the alien base on the other side of the moon and Clifford Stone on retrieval cases, living alive and shooting them down, and Carol Rosen's testimony is, if there was ever a secret government insider, it's got to be Dr. Wernher von Braun, you think about all the evil alien movies out there, trying to take over our planet.
I was going to mention this because I really liked that page that you did, and I've sort of cloned it on my website from the one you had on yours, because I think if people are listening, should go on to Dan Willis's site. Have you still got that page up on your website, Dan? I've still got it on mine.
I put up a MySpace site. It's myspace.com/disclosurewitness and the number 6. I'm the sixth witness.
And because I really like this, where you've basically gone down the list, and you've got all the main sort of movies like The Day the Earth Stood Still and This Island Earth and the various ones, and you've got a little logo for each saying whether it was a good alien or a bad alien or both. And I really like the way you've done that, because it just makes you think, I think it draws you into this, again, the psychology of it and the sort of psychological operations which have been going on for the last 50 years,
The three master psychological operations, I can say, is probably Independence Day has got to be up there. And then as far as grab your American flag and kick alien butt. And then you have Signs, which is the religion, where Mel Gibson's a priest and the alien looks like a demon, and the slogan of the sign of the Signs, and the crop circles are so beautiful, and it says it's not as if they didn't warn us, all these things that create this subconscious association whenever you hear UFOs or aliens that you. Especially, religious oriented people that, think, oh my God, this is from Satan, these are demons from hell, coming to take over, But nothing could be further from the truth, because they have never shown, hostility, or, they would have, not unless they were, protecting themselves or something, but the situation has been, we've been shooting down them and they haven't been attacking us, and we're still here, so, that somewhat says something.
As Dr. Greer says, I think, I think there are definitely forces of darkness in the world. To be quite honest, I haven't made my mind up whether the forces of darkness which are now operating are totally sort of Homo sapiens based, or whether there's some other sort of, there is some type of alien influence involved in that. But I think, really, are we going to be invaded by aliens? Well, I don't think we are, because there's no evidence to suggest that. However, have we already been invaded by aliens in terms of the way that they're running this planet, and by secrecy and cover-ups and this sort of thing?
Yeah.
Well, for people like you and me, Dan, I would say that whether these people are 100% Homo sapiens or whether they're another race or something, as some people swear, I don't know, but some people swear that this is true, their way of doing things and their way of thinking is alien to us. That's the way I would describe my own sort of feelings on that,
The one thought I wanted to link with the movies, Andrew, was take it that, we've gotten years of indoctrination of this negative imagery of extraterrestrials through movies and things. And if we take Wernher von Braun's warning seriously, and he was saying this on his deathbed in the last 4 years that he knew Dr. Kel Rosen, he would say over and over again, there's going to be false flag events that they want to build a space-based weapons system. Yeah. First it will be Soviets, then there will be rogue nations, and there will be terrorists, which is what we're experiencing now.
Yeah.
We'd have false flag events to bring in the terrorist thing. Then he spoke of asteroids, and he'd say over and over again, Carol, the final card, or the last card, is the alien card, and we're going to have to build space-based weapons against aliens, but it's all a lie. And if that is true, and it seems we've gone through the Soviets, and we've gone through rogue nations, and we're going through terrorists right now. If the alien card is somewhere in line in the future, it would seem that when they do news coverage on the Disclosure Project, the perfect spin is just for us to say that, oh, we're just saying that we're not alone in the universe and that aliens are real, which works for that particular agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, just to sort of expand on that slightly, that we've seen a few disclosures of sorts over the last few years. For example, we had Steve Bassett on Fox News talking about the Mexican military's sighting, and that was reported in a very neutral sort of style. You know, they said that this film had been released by the Mexican military. They didn't say it was an alien invasion. They didn't say it was an alien peace mission. You know, they just neutral. And then, of course, we've had a couple of months ago, Governor Fife Symington of Arizona, former Governor Fife Symington of Arizona. Did you hear about his disclosure?
No, I didn't.
Well, basically, he came on, and Governor Fife Symington was involved in the Phoenix Lights event in 1997, and he said in the morning, after tens of thousands of people had witnessed the Phoenix Lights, he said, we're going to have a full investigation to this. You know, he said this in a very serious tone. And then in the afternoon, he had a second press conference, and he said, you guys are way too serious. And he brought this chap on who had a huge alien
Andrew, I do remember that. I do remember that now, yes. And then he turned around and said, yes, he did say something after he said he didn't.
That's right. And it was a couple of months ago he said he saw the huge, wide-shaped craft.
Right.
And I think, again, tying into Dr. Greer, he was interviewed recently by Alfred Weber, and he discussed with Alfred that they had been involved doing a CE5 around the time of the Phoenix Lights, maybe even the night before, and they'd asked for a large showing up of craft, and that Dr. Greer said that he thinks the Phoenix Lights, or at least part of that event, was as a result of their CE5 that they were doing, or their CSETI, exercise they were doing then. I don't know if you'd heard that.
Yeah, I did. I heard about that.
And so that was very interesting. But yeah, going back to the, they seem to be stacking up the deck so that, as you say, they can spin this idea of the aliens being real. They've got to get the aliens being real first. You know, they've got to establish that, and that's not going to take too much of a push.
Yeah.
And then they've got to turn it into the false flag, the bad aliens.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people operating within the secret government that no longer want to be with the agenda, but they can't, they can't really get out, you know, so to speak. Mm. And you think about it, you know, how are you going to come out and say to the people, yeah, we didn't have to have all these wars, we could have had this technology, we don't have to have this environmental damage, and that we've been profiting, the wars have been great for our profits for the industrial military complex, and the oil prices that are record high profits. You know, how can they come out and say, well, okay, yes, we have the technology, but we really want it to profit off of you, instead of we didn't want to ruin our empire. You can't blame them in a certain sense that, you know, they have multi-trillion dollar energy empires, and back in the 40s they and then I guess it lost control in the 60s during the Eisenhower era, according to General Lovkin's witness testimony.
Seems to be the pattern. But that's right. There is this sort of selfish aspect to it all, and you can understand why they've done it. But I think it comes to the point: is can the Earth in its current state sustain that type of behaviour? And I think most people now agree that it can't. You know, not for any lengthy period.
Well, we got two paths in front of us. Either we continue on the path that we're going, which will be they have to have greater freedoms removed and greater secrecies.
Absolutely.
Because we can't have the public knowing what's going on. There'll be a major upheaval, you know, if this happened in religion and everything, you know.
Yeah. So,
but if we do disclose this technology, we can start healing the Earth, stop the environmental damage, stop the wars over oil, at some point they've got to just, it's a lies upon lies, and we got to keep maintain that lie at all costs. And if the people can't come out in numbers. And what I'm hoping to see is a lot of people going to the disclosureproject.org website that are, let's say, in the U.S. and contacting the representatives, but they have to personalize the letter. They can't just use a template, because as soon as they see the same letter coming over and over again, they're just going to disregard it. People have to voice, they have to educate themselves, know that this is real, by going to the Disclosure Project site, reading about the testimonies, making up your own mind. Are all these 450 plus witnesses all making this up, or is this real? And once they make up their mind, they've got to voice their opinion to the representatives, and we got to do it in mass numbers.
That's right. And I also like to tie this in with there was when David Griffin interviewed Alfred a couple of weeks ago. I really enjoyed that interview, because Alfred was saying that this process is participatory, in that we can all participate, and one of these ways is writing the letters, because through that process we are changing the intent of our future. We're beginning, to say, right, we're taking a stand now, we want a different future, and we know that this is possible. And that to me is the starting point. It's a second step, really. The first step is to understand that the Disclosure Project and the witness testimony means that we have got this whole other reality, if you want to call it that, which has been hidden from us. And the second step is then to tell other people about that reality and ask for it to be brought into play in our current reality, and that's the only way we're going to change things.
That's true, Andrew. For people to get to the stage where they realize that, yes, the whole world can change, the whole world can benefit, the whole future can be changed to a much better world, if they get to the point of understanding that, that's where it has to go, because they're not getting it through CNN, they're not getting it through BBC, and the reps, until they're, I think it's great that people contact your representatives like you did and attempt to educate them on the reality of the subject, because their sources apparently are getting indoctrinated with false letters of denial that none of this exists and it's all... I got one letter back from a representative in Georgia that said, oh, you've been victimized by internet hoax. It's the disclosures just to make money, I know that for a fact it's not true,
That's right. It's just amazing. But there are, I think, sort of focusing on this a little bit more, there seem to be some encouraging signs, because I was listed on the Disclosure Project site as a sort of UK representative, or one of them. I think there's about three or four listed on there. But over the last sort of 4 years, I've had a few people contact me, not that many, but then this year I've probably had about 7 or 8 people contact me specifically about the Disclosure Project, and there's one guy who offered to redo my website, which is the checktheevidence.com, and he's actually redone a whole section of it, and he's done a really good job actually. But I think what I was going to say was that there are encouraging signs now that people are realizing, you know, this juncture that we're at, and they've seen, a lot of people only see one pathway, which is, you know, war and oblivion and all this sort of thing, but there are a few other people now who are looking down the other one, of which this is a part, you know, and I've been very encouraged by the number of people that have contacted me about this. And then last year somebody actually started a completely separate petition, you know, on their own initiative. And I think there's not that many signatures on it, but it was just to me that the person had gone to this trouble to actually try and do something, you know, to change things. That's what gave me a, you know, a good bit of encouragement.
Yeah, it's encouraging to see people doing that.
Right. Well, anyway, Dan, I think we've been on for just over an hour now, so I think perhaps if we arrange another time. And we'll maybe speak about some of the other topics. I think I particularly wanted to go over with you some of the experiences you've had with the sort of Seize Power sort of initiative that you've been involved with. Because I know you've how long you've been doing that now? It must be 3 or 4 years.
Well, I you know, my background is, you know, broadcasting, communications, electronics, and I've gotten to know Dr. Professor Leuter, and I knew that, you know, they had identified an inventor down in the Caribbean.
Right.
And so I volunteered to help and have consequently become one of the, you know, technical advisors for Space Energy Access System. One of the only guys that don't have a PhD, you know. but you know, I have a lot of knowledge working with unconventional technologies in the past. Mm. As far as, you know, inventors, yes, there's a lot of inventors out there. There's been a lot of suppression out there. I've heard a lot of horror stories. I'm under non-disclosure agreements, so I can't go into any particular details on things. But let's just say that, yes, we've seen things operate that produce, you know, 500 watts out of less than 1 watt going into it.
Wow.
And there's been other... And you know, what's happened is there's all different methods in which, one way or another, they will stop any type of production of technologies that would go against their, you know, energy empires.
Yeah.
And, you know, they
have
National Security Acts slapped on them, you know, and they can't go forward and so forth like that. But, yes, that's a very real thing, suppression of these technologies.
I think if we save that for perhaps another hour, you know, that would be really good, because I think there's probably a lot of interesting material there which hasn't really been covered particularly, and then we'll perhaps come back to these other topics for another hour and develop them from there. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, so we'll come back for another hour or so at a later point, which we'll agree, and we'll cover some of these other topics which I'm very interested in. But for the time being, I'd like to thank you very much for your time that you spent with us talking about these very important topics. And I think perhaps you would, you know, share my view that don't believe anything that we say. Go and check all this out for yourself. Check on
Absolutely.
The Disclosure Project site and make your own mind up as to whether we're sincere or whether we're just part of some weird psyop.
As your website is called, Check the Evidence.
Check the Evidence. Yeah, that sort of phrase came to me, and I just made it the website. It seems to be quite appropriate for most things. So yeah. Okay then. Well, thank you very much, Dan. It's been absolutely great.
All right. Always a pleasure, Andrew. Anytime.
Thank you.